Chapter 5, The Beginning of the French Revolution. Question 1. What were the chief reasons that led to the summoning of the States General? Answer. The following reasons inspired Louis XVI, the King of France, to summon the meeting of the States General. Deplorable financial position. The economic condition of France was deteriorating by leaps and bounds, and the finance ministers were compelled to take debts on heavy interests. But this was not the solution of the problems, nor taking of loans in order to balance the budget could be continued by the finance ministers forever. This problem could only be solved by equal taxation. So far, the nobles and the clergymen were free from all taxes, and hence the theory of equal taxation was not acceptable to the nobles, and they opposed the ministers under the leadership of Marie Antoinette, the queen of Louis XVI, and removed them from their posts one by one. The publication of budget. The royal court used to spend fabulous wealth for their comforts and luxuries, but it was never known to general masses as to what amount was being spent on their luxuries. But in 1781, Necker, the finance minister, got the report of budget published, and it came to the notice of general public for the first time how much money was being wasted on the royal family and how much amount was being realized from the poor people of France. The royal family felt so much annoyed with Necker after the publication of the budget that they got him dismissed from the post of finance minister, but the extravagancy of the royal court was no more an open secret. Assembly of Notables. The Assembly of Notables was called in 1787 AD. The nobles, priests, and the magistrates were its members, who were appointed by the king himself. There was no representation of common people in the assembly on the proposal of equal taxation for all the classes. The members of assembly, along with nobles, opposed Colonnet, the then finance minister, and got him removed from his office. Parliament of Paris disapproved new taxes. The king, in order to please the nobles, imposed some new taxes on the masses, who were already being crushed under the burden of taxation. But the Parliament of Paris disapproved these new taxes and was of the opinion that new taxes could not be imposed without the approval of the States General. The king dissolved the Parliament and ordered, out of anger, that the members of the dissolved Parliament should be imprisoned, but the order was not complied with by the soldiers. The king was at his wit's end. At the same time, the public made a strong appeal to call a meeting of the States General, and the king was compelled to accept their proposal. He declared that the meeting of the States General would be called on 1st May 1789 AD. Now, beginning of the session of the States General. The session of the States General began in the Grand Hall of the Royal Palace of Versailles on May 5, 1789 AD. 1,214 delegates took part in it. They were the representatives of all the three classes. Out of these, 285 representatives were of nobles, 308 represented the higher clergy, and 621 were the delegates of the general masses. Mirabeau was the most distinguished figure among all the delegates. He belonged to nobility, but he was a representative of the commoners. During his election, he declared a historic sentence about himself: "A mad dog that I may be, but elect me, and despotism and privilege will die for my bite." All these delegates who came from different parts of France brought with them complaints, memorandums, and demands of their respective areas. These were known as Cahiers. None of the Cahiers was against the king, nor there was any sign in any of the Cahiers that people were planning to bring about a revolution. These Cahiers were relating the sad tale of tortures and maladministration for which the royal officials were responsible. They had merely requested the king through these Cahiers that inequality among different classes should be removed, exploitation and forced labor be checked, the special rights and privileges be abolished, in order to bring about harmony among all the classes. Now, King's weak policy. A new hope had arisen among the masses with the calling of a meeting of the States General, that soon their economic problems would be solved and their troubles and miseries were going to end. But all their hopes were dashed to pieces when the king did not speak a word in their favor. Neither he assured a constitution for the country, nor he spoke a word about the voting right. The people felt discontented, and the king, by his weak policy, diverted their attention towards revolt. Had the king acted wisely at this critical juncture, the attention of the masses could be directed easily towards reforms instead of revolution. Now, the position of the members of Third Estate. The members of the Third Estate were elected by the commoners, who included the middle class. The representatives of the Third Estate were mostly judges, doctors, writers, and lawyers of literary men who were well educated and intelligent. They were in favor of establishing the constitutional monarchy like that of England. Now, beginning of struggle. The struggle began on 6th May in connection with the voting system of the States General. Every class had one vote. If this procedure was adopted even now, it would have been useless to double the number of the representatives of the Third Estate. The nobles and the priests wanted voting by order, while the members of the Third Estate desired it by head. If the proposal of the representative of commoners had been accepted, it was to sign on the death warrant of the privileges of nobles and priests. The king allotted different rooms to all the three classes to meet. On 12th June 1789, when the nobles and priests did not join the representatives of the Third Estate, they decided to hold the session alone and declared States General to be the National Assembly. The higher clergy also joined the commoners on this occasion and strengthened them. It enhanced the power and prestige of the representatives of the Third Estate. The king, on the persuasion of Queen Marie Antoinette and his brother, desired to address the joint session of the National Assembly, but the members of the Third Estate paid no heed to it. Now, oath of the tennis court. On 20th June 1789, the king got closed the meeting room of Third Estate and posted some armed soldiers for its safety. When the representatives of Third Estate reached there by, they were stunned to see this state of affairs. At the same time, it began to rain heavily, so they entered an adjacent big hall which was used for playing tennis. The leaders of Third Estate declared here that they would not move from there until they had prepared a constitution for the country. The king was terrified to hear this news, but he was unable to take any decision due to his fickle-mindedness. Now, session of 23rd June. Louis XVI called forth the joint session of all the three estates on 23rd June 1789. The king and the queen mounted on high seat. The members of Third Estate took their seats in front of the king, while the nobles and the priests occupied seats on the right and left of the king. The king addressed the house, and after the end of his speech, he asked them to go to their respective chambers and find out the solution. The king, along with his queen, left the hall after his address, being confident that his order would be complied with. The representatives of the first and the second estates, of following the order of the king, left for their respective chambers, but the members of the third estate did not leave their seats. Hazen has pointed out about their critical position in these words: "This was one of the critical moments of history. To leave the hall meant abandonment of all that the third estate stood for. To remain meant disobedience to the express command of the king and probably severe punishment." When Dramtz Breeze, the master of ceremonies, was sent to the representatives of the third estate to ask them to leave the hall and go to their respective chamber, Mirabeau rose fearlessly and said in a thundering voice, "Sir, go and tell your master that nothing but bayonets will drive us out from here." After this historical declaration, the representatives of the third estate continued to hold their session in the same building. After 2 days, several members of the first and second estate also joined them. Seeing this precarious situation, Louis XVI was compelled to join hands with the members of the third estate. He could not crush the third estate by bayonets because it might have turned into civil war in France. Secondly, the king did not possess the bayonets. He lost all his confidence in the army. After 4 days, on 27th June, the king granted the recognition to the National Assembly and ordered that all the representatives of different estates should assemble at one place and take decision on majority vote. This was the greatest victory of the third estate. Somebody remarked on this occasion that the revolution is over, but it was a wrong notion. Actually, a chapter of the revolution was ended. Thus, the king was completely responsible in preparing ground for the revolution. If he had acted boldly and crushed the representatives of Third Estate by force, the matter should have been decided once for all. But his wavering temperament and lack of boldness proved to be the greatest obstacle in taking any decision and made the outbreak of the revolution inevitable. Now, points to remember. The following reasons were responsible for summoning the session of the States General. First, deplorable financial position of France. Second, the publication of budget. Third, assembly of notables. Fourth, Parliament of Paris disapproved new taxes. Fifth, beginning of the session of States General. Sixth, the representatives brought cahiers from their respective regions and wanted reforms in various spheres. Seventh, the king, owing to his weak policy, failed to satisfy them. Eighth, the position of the members of the Third Estate was quite solid. They were educated and intelligent. Ninth, beginning of struggle. System of voting should be by head instead of by order. Tenth, the oath of tennis court terrified the king. 11th, session of 23rd June proved fatal for the king. The members of the Third Estate did not obey the order of the king and continued their meeting in the hall. 12th, the members of 1st and 2nd Estate also joined them. 13th, ultimately the king agreed to address the joint session of all the three houses. It was clear victory of the Third Estate. Thus, the States General got the recognition of National Assembly by the King. Now, question. Two. Give an account of the fall of Bastille and relate it consequences. Answer. The power and authority of the king had decreased to a great extent with the recognition of National Assembly. The commoners now started to misbehave with the nobles and the clergy. They were not paying due regard even to the king and the queen. It was due to this reason that the royal family held an inimical attitude towards the National Assembly and wanted its total abolition. The general masses also looked towards the acts of king with suspicion and hatred, and thus there was tug of war between the king and the representatives of National Assembly for survival. Now, fall of Bastille. The following reasons could be held responsible for the fall of the castle of Bastille in the hands of the revolutionaries. First, removal of Necker. With the recognition of the National Assembly by the king, the power and prestige of the representatives of Third Estate grew rapidly, and they began to perform their duties with great courage and enthusiasm. They wanted to end the special privileges of the nobles and the priests and desired equal taxes on all the classes. So far, the nobles, feudal lords, and the priests were exempted from all taxes. The nobles and priests were terrified with this attitude of the commoners. They, along with Queen Marie Antoinette and Count of Artois, pressed the king to dissolve the National Assembly, and the king, owing to his fickle-mindedness and nervous temperament, acceded to their request and stationed the units of German and Swiss troops in Versailles. He also removed Necker, the most famous finance minister, from his office. It alarmed the general masses to great extent and inflamed their passion for revolt. Now, lack of unity in the members of National Assembly. The chief object of the representatives of National Assembly was to prepare a new constitution for the country, but since all the members were inexperienced persons, they did not succeed in attaining their objective. Moreover, they had no unity among themselves. Instead of making joint efforts and doing something solid for the well-being of their country, the members accused one another and wasted their precious time. It annoyed the general masses and provided a background for an open revolt. Now, unstable temperament of the king. The king did not possess a strong will, given to fickle-mindedness and vacillating nature. He failed to take a solid decision. Sometimes he favored the causes of third estate, and after a moment he supported the acts of the nobles and the priests. He was himself not certain as to what he should do. It later on became the chief reason of his unpopularity among the masses. The law and order problem was taking a bad shape day by day, and people of France began to think in terms of revolution. Moreover, the representatives of the National Assembly began to criticize the king's policies vehemently, and the public thus got encouragement and resorted to an open revolt. Now, increase of discontentment amongst the public. The generality of people who were badly oppressed during the regime of absolute monarchy and the privileged classes expected some healthy reforms to redress the abuses of the monarchy. He had a confidence that the feeble economic situation would be improved and their sufferings would come to an end. But the National Assembly did nothing to fulfill their aspirations. Hence, the public was dissatisfied all the more, and in order to fulfill their wishes, they resorted to the open revolution. Now, the revolt of the Paris mob. In the meantime, several naked and hungry peasantry of France had gathered in Paris. They expected to get something by creating disorder and indulging in robbery and arson. On this critical occasion, the Duke of Orleans cherished a hope to take the advantage of the chaos and confusion, and intended to capture the throne of France. He invited a number of ruffians from his estate to create hooliganism in Paris. The incident of the dismissal of Necker added fuel to the fire, and people threw themselves in heated discussions regarding the dismissal of Necker, the most popular finance minister. Now, the fall of Bastille. At the same time, Camille Desmoulins delivered a fiery speech that after the dismissal of Necker, the second move of the king would be an order to German and Swiss soldiers to massacre the inhabitants of Paris and imprison their representatives. He directed the people of Paris to gather as many weapons as possible in order to save themselves from the tyranny of the king. His venomous speech impressed the mob enormously. They started shouting slogans, looting the people in the streets of Paris and collecting weapons from wherever they could. By 14th of July, they could be able to collect a number of weapons along with two big cannons. All these armed persons were in search of gunpowder. At this juncture, someone from the mob directed them that there was enough of gunpowder and bombs in the fortress of Bastille, which was a prison for the political accused. The mob advanced towards the fortress of Bastille and raided it. D. Launay was in charge of this fortress, and his soldiers fought very bravely against the crowd for some time. About 200 people were killed in this struggle, and at last, D. Launay had to surrender before the mob because there was no more ammunition in the fortress to continue the resistance. The infuriated mob cut down the in charge of the castle along with his brave soldiers and speared their severed heads and paraded them in the streets of Paris. They destroyed the fortress completely and released all the prisoners. Now, importance of the fall of Bastille. The fall of the fortress of Bastille has a great importance in the history of Europe. It was a victory of liberal values over the absolute monarchy. It created an atmosphere of horror and terror in the hearts of the absolute monarchs in Europe, and they began to think of their own fate. After getting the news of the fall of Bastille, Louis XVI said, "This is a revolt." But the reporter answered, "No, sir, it is a revolution." All the people in the world who had faith in democratic form of government expressed their joy at this historical event. Now, consequences of the fall of Bastille. Political consequences. The fall of the fortress of Bastille was the second great victory of the people over the despotic rule of the king. Louis XVI had forces at his disposal to crush the uprising, but yielded owing to his own weakness before the mob. He withdrew the German and Swiss forces from Paris in order to pacify the infuriated mob, and also appointed Necker again on the post of finance minister. He recognized validity of the National Guards and appointed Lafayette the commanding officer of the National Guards. After 3 days, he hoisted the tricolor flag and passed through the streets of Paris along with the members of the National Assembly. He also praised Lafayette and the Paris Commune for their heroic deeds. In fact, Louis XVI was terrified after the fall of the castle of Bastille, and he had to surrender before the mob out of fear. Thus we see, people were conquering the king in France for the first time. So far, the king had conquered the people. Social consequences. The fall of Bastille was the greatest achievement of the revolutionaries, and they began to massacre and loot the landed gentry. The peasantry also rose against the privileged classes in the villages and indulged themselves in looting and burning their houses. They refused to do the forced labor and gave monstrous beatings to the tax collectors. Several landlords were put to death. There was complete lawlessness, anarchy, chaos, and confusion everywhere in Paris. The prominent citizens of Paris formed a committee to stop this hooliganism. The National Guards and Paris Commune were also organized in order to maintain peace and order in France again. Thus, the fall of Bastille resulted into total abolition of the power of the king. Godwin, The eminent historian has also remarked on the fall of the Castle of Bastille. No other single event in the Revolution had so many-sided or far-reaching results as the fall of the Bastille. It marked the end of royal despotism in France, completed the transfer of political authority to the national legislature, and by encouraging the peasants to revolt, it paved the way for the fall of feudalism. The fall of the fortress was widely acclaimed as heralding a new birth of liberty, not only in France but throughout the world. Now, points to remember. The following reasons proved helpful for the fall of the fortress of Bastille. First, removal of Necker incited the people. Second, lack of unity among the members of the National Assembly checked them to make any joint effort. Third, the unstable temperament of the king encouraged the people to revolt. Fourth, the revolt of Paris mob created chaos and confusion in the country and made the fall of Bastille inevitable. It ended the absolute monarchy, and the king recognized the Paris Commune and the National Guards. The old regime was totally uprooted, and the supremacy of the people was established. Now, question three. Describe how the king and the National Assembly were transferred from Versailles to Paris. Also relate the incident of the king's flight from Paris. What were the results of this incident? Answer. The event of the transfer of the royal family took place at the fateful time when the entire France was echoing with the slogan of liberty, equality and fraternity. And the revolutionary spirit was pulsating in every individual. The reasons and circumstances given below played a significant role in the transfer of the royal family and the National Assembly from Versailles to Paris. Now, reasons for transfer. Conspiracy of the nobles after the fall of Bastille. The king was profoundly affected by the incident of the fall of the fortress of Bastille into the hands of the Paris crowd. The nobles and upper clergy also felt a great horror and were alarmed by this incident. They began to realize that the situation of the country was rapidly moving against them. Hence, some of the nobles and clergymen willingly renounced their privileges. The National Assembly received encouragement by this event, and on the 4th August, it tried to finish serfdom and feudal system completely. Though Louis XVI had outwardly approved that the act of the Paris mob, but inwardly he was in search of a chance and means to stop this hooliganism prevalent in France. The higher clergy were also hand and glove with the king and wanted from the core of their hearts to check the revolutionary spirit. Now, efforts of the king to check the revolution. Marie Antoinette, along with the nobles and higher clergy, wanted to influence and avert the revolution. The royal spouse, Marie Antoinette, exercised her fullest pressure to impress the king and prevent the revolution because she was against reform. She hated the reformists and intended to avenge her insult. She used all her resources to maintain her ego and false prestige and to destroy the revolutionists. It created a bad blood between the royalists and the revolutionists. The antisocial element was fanning the indifferences between both these forces in order to reap advantage from the state of lawlessness and anarchy. Now, vacillating nature of the king and public's anger. The king had again restored Necker to the post of finance minister due to the pressure of public demand. But owing to his vacillating nature and fickle-mindedness, he disapproved the proposals of the National Assembly passed on 4th August. It was essential that these proposals were to be approved by the king before implementation. So the representatives of the National Assembly were infuriated. They began to doubt the king's intentions and honesty. The public of Paris was extremely agitated to hear a rumor that the king had called army to crush the revolution and had purchased all the corn and stored it in royal godowns in order to starve the people. At that time, Paris was struck by a severe famine, and people came to believe the rumor that scarcity of the daily provisions had been accused by the king. A great feast organized by the king in Versailles added fuel to the fire, where the national flag was insulted. The infuriated public held the royal family responsible for these happenings and demanded that the royal family should come to Paris and the National Assembly should also hold its sessions in Paris instead of Versailles. The masses were of the opinion that in case the king stayed at Paris, he would not be able to hatch any conspiracy against the revolutionaries. But the king did not agree to their demands and refused to act accordingly. Now, march of hungry women to Versailles. As the king had already refused to sign the proposals of the meeting of 4th August and people were in a doubtful mood, a rumor spread that the king wanted to go to Metz from Versailles. The great feast organized by the king and the insult of the national flag infuriated the entire Paris, and people began to organize themselves. On 5th October, some 8 or 10,000 women proceeded in a procession from Paris to Versailles. Their faces showed dejection and they were shouting slogans for bread. Several hooligans and antisocial elements also mingled in the procession. Lafayette, pretending some trouble, also marched towards Versailles along with his national and security guards. He was afraid that this crowd might create some mischief with the royal family. After reaching Versailles, these hungry women surrounded the royal palace from all the four sides and shouted, "Bread, bread." The soldiers of the National Guards did not find themselves capable of controlling them. On the request and persuasion of Lafayette, the king along with the queen and prince came at the window of the palace for their satisfaction. But the women were not satisfied with merely seeing the king. They wanted to take him to Paris and cried, "We shall carry with us to Paris the baker's wife and the baker's son, that is the king, the queen and the prince." The royal family was disturbed a lot throughout the night, but on 6th October, seeing the staunch attitude of the mob, the king agreed to go to Paris with them, along with the royal family. The people danced with pleasure and cried, Now we shall have bread. The king, after reaching Paris, began to live in the palace of Tullyers, and after that the family could never go back to Versailles, and Paris became the center of French administration. After the departure of the king from Versailles to Paris, the representatives of the National Assembly had also followed in his footsteps. The events of 5th and 6th October made the mob very powerful, and the absolute monarchy was abolished from France. In fact, the position of the king and the National Assembly was no better than that of a prisoner under the control of the Paris mob. Hazen has aptly remarked, "The king and the assembly were now under the daily supervision of the people of Paris. In reality, they were prisoners." Now, king's flight from Paris. With the passage of time, the king realized his deteriorating position and felt that he was merely a prisoner of the Paris mob. The king and the queen, under the influence of the courtiers, continued to negotiate with the foreign powers for their release. Some very nominal rights were granted to the king in the new constitution. Hence, the king intended to fly away from Paris before making his signatures on the new constitution. By that time, Mirabeau, the greatest supporter of autocracy, had breathed his last. And so, feeling himself all alone, he had decided to run away from France. On 20th June, the king, along with his queen and son, left for Metz in disguise in a closed carriage. When they reached Saint-Menehould, the king was recognized by an official, and he at once informed the Paris Commune. After proceeding a little farther, they got a bit late in the exchange of the horses at Venice. It was a place hardly 20 miles inside the territory of France, where the king was arrested with his family and was brought back to Paris. Now, consequences of the king's flight. First, the honor and the prestige of the king received a severe blow, and the people of Paris named him a traitor and demanded that he should be removed from the throne. Second, some people demanded that the king should be severely punished, but both of these proposals were opposed by some powerful representatives of the National Assembly. Third, at last, the National Assembly decided on 15th July that no harm should be done to the king, but his assistant, who helped him in this cause, should be strictly penalized. But all of his assistants had already left France. Fourth, Leopold II, the brother of Marie Antoinette, along with other European kings, had realized that Louis XVI, could not be restored to his old position without waging a war. Fifth, the supporters of democracy wanted to establish it. They declared that the king had no right to the throne. Now, democracy would have to be established in France, but some of the leaders also opposed it. After the unsuccessful flight of the king from Paris, it was a matter of controversy among the Democrats and the Royalists as to what behavior should be meted out to the king. But the National Assembly resolved on 16th July, that if the king accepted the new constitution for the country, all his acts of omission and commission could be pardoned, and he could be again enthroned. The people, in order to get their demand accepted, gathered in a field for the establishment of democracy, but Lafayette and his supporters ordered for postponing this meeting. Notwithstanding, people did not leave the place. Hence, an order was issued to open fire on the innocent public, and several persons were shot down. A prominent writer has remarked, "Paris never forgave Bailly, the Lafayette, for the day's work. In their own eyes, they had saved the capital from the mob rule. In the people's eyes, they had shot down peaceful citizens for demanding the dethronement of a king who has proved a traitor." Danton, Marat, and other democratic leaders fled from France. Publication of all the papers of the Democrats was stopped. Actually, the proceedings of Lafayette were inhuman. The king accepted the new constitution. The nobles who fled from France were also excused, but the queen still continued to correspond with his brother. Thus, the Republicans lost all influence for the time being in France. Now, points to remember. The transfer of the king and the National Assembly was effected due to the following reasons. First, conspiracy of the nobles after the fall of Bastille was the chief reason of this transfer. Second, the efforts of the king to check the revolution also proved helpful. Third, the king's vacillating nature and the rage of the public provided a solid ground for the transfer of the king and the National Assembly. Fourth, the march of hungry women to Versailles, crying "bread, bread," created confusion. Fifth, they surrounded the palace and compelled the king to accompany them to Paris. Sixth, the king agreed to their proposal on the persuasion of Lafayette. Seventh, he was imprisoned in the palace of Tuileries, and he could never go back. 8. The king wanted to run away from Paris, but he was caught. This resulted in loss of prestige of the king and increased the power of the National Assembly. Now, question 4. Describe the part played by Abbé Sieyès, Mirabeau, and Lafayette in the history of the French Revolution. Answer: Abbé Sieyès, 1748-1836. He saw the light of day in 1748 AD. He was born in a middle-class family. His father was a registrar of deeds at Fréjus. He was very brilliant since birth. He received his education at St. Sulpice College. After the completion of his education, he seriously studied the works of the great philosophers. His parents wanted to make him a priest, but he had no aptitude for clerical life. He had an outstanding passion for politics. He often used to say, "The science of politics is one in which I think I am perfect." He was well known as the maker of the constitutions prepared in France in that chaotic period. He was acquainted with the defects of society and administration both. He was a supporter of reforms. He was very industrious and worked with heart and soul during the course of revolution. Mirabeau and Robespierre were influenced by him. Now his political career. He put certain significant questions in one of his books about the position of the general masses and answered them himself, which made him very famous. He did not agree to be a representative of the priests, but was elected as a representative of the third estate. His significant questions were like the following. Question: what is the third estate? Answer: it is everything. Question: what has been the position of the third estate? Answer: nothing absolutely. Question: what does the third estate want? Answer: it wants to achieve something great. All these questions had a significant meaning, and he earned a great reputation. His book was sold forthwith in the market. Even being a revolutionary, he did not want to end the monarchy. He was elected president of the National Assembly in 1790. He was the staunch follower of constitutional monarchy, but he did not like the freedom of press at all. He remained completely aloof from politics during the reign of terror. He did not take part in any political event from July 1791 to July 1794 because he had no faith in terrorism. In 1794, when Robespierre was condemned to death and guillotined and the reign of terror came to an end, he again became active in politics. He was appointed the member of the Committee of Public Safety. He played a prominent role in the making of the Constitution of 1795. The National Convention could gain the upper hand over the terrorists due to the shrewd policies of Abbe Sieyès. He compelled the royalists to flee away in 1795 with the help of Napoleon, who was an army officer at that time. In fact, he completely devoted himself to the cause of his country. When on 26th of October 1795, the National Convention was dissolved and rule of directors was established, Abbe Sieyès was one of the five directors, and as soon as the fall of directory took place, he was among the three consuls. It shows his importance and shrewdness. When Napoleon overthrew the consulate system and established his dictatorship, Abbe Sieyès was appointed on a very significant post. He survived up to 1836 and worked on very important political posts from the beginning to the end of his career. He made a very significant contribution to the national politics during the course of his political career. Now, Mirabeau. A famous historian, Hayes, has observed about the character and personality of Mirabeau thus: from the convocation of the States General in 1789 to his death in 1791, he was one of the most prominent men in France. His gigantic physique, half broken by disease and imprisonment, his shabby eyebrows, heavy head, gave him an impressive, though sinister appearance. And for quickness in perceiving at once a problem and its solution, as well as for his gifts of reverberating oratory, he had no equal. He was born in 1749 AD in a noble family of France. He was very courageous and adventurous in nature from the very childhood. He was very ugly in appearance. His father wrote to his brother after seeing him, "Your nephew is as ugly as Satan." His scarred face was a symbol of his scarred character. He had inculcated many bad habits. He generally used to be suffering from one or the other disease due to leading an unnatural life. He could stoop to any stage for the sake of politics. His selfish ends and luxuries. Being too much extravagant, he often remained under debts. He was charged again and again for taking bribe, and he deceived several women in his life. His father had to request the jail authorities times without number to imprison him for his impertinent behavior. But in spite of all these shortcomings, scholars of history wrote about him to the effect that he was the greatest man of the French Revolution. The chief reason of his success was that he was a man of instincts and insights. Thus, he was a man of some extraordinary qualities who held a supreme position among his contemporaries. Now, his political career. At the end of the 18th century, he returned to France and started taking part in politics. Formerly, he was the member of the Jacobin Party, but later on, he left its membership. He was so much defamed among the nobles that he could not be elected as a representative of the First Estate. Hence, he sought to become a member of the Third Estate. At 6, he delivered a speech before the audience and influenced them greatly by these words. Greatly by these words, "A mad dog that I may be, but elect me and despotism and privileges will die of my bite." The voters of Aix and Marseilles were greatly impressed by him, and he was elected the member of the Third Estate. He was the person to launch a movement against the king, first of all. He played a prominent role in the oath of tennis court. He boldly said to the king's messenger, "Go and tell those who sent you that we are here by the will of the people and that we cannot be moved hence save by the force of bayonets." He declared States General a national assembly and forced the king to call the joint session of the States General. He made appreciable attempts to get the voting done by head in place of by order and asked the king to remove the army which he had placed to terrify the National Assembly. Really, he wanted to become the Prime Minister of France. That is why he used to say, "Whatever cooperation exists among the kings of England, George III, Pitt the Younger, and the House of Commons, the same should subsist among Louis XVI, Mirabeau, and the National Assembly of France." But the members of the National Assembly suspected the intentions of Mirabeau and passed a law in 1789 that no member would be permitted to accept a post of minister under the crown. Mirabeau opposed this law and people began to doubt his intention all the more. Throughout his life, he supported monarchy, but owing to his bad luck, he could not become a favorite of the king. Though he was a secret advisor of the king, he only sold his services, not his conscience. Had the king not paid him any salary, he would have advised him in the same manner that he did after getting a salary. Now, aims of Mirabeau. He was guided by the following aims during his political life. First, he wanted to safeguard the executive powers of the king. Second, he was a supporter of hereditary monarchy and was in favor of an elected assembly for the help of the king. Third, he intended to keep the king away from Paris. He was afraid of Paris crowds and apprehended any harm to the king in Paris. Fourth, he wanted equal taxation on all classes. Fifth, he supported freedom of the press. Sixth, there should be no partiality in justice. Seventh, he wanted to end the special privileges of the nobles and the priests. Eighth, he was in favor of selling the property of the king and the church. Ninth, he intended that the ministers should be responsible to the assembly for their acts and performance. Though he had splendid aims to execute, owing to his ill fate, he was neither believed by the king nor by the members of the National Assembly. Before his death on 5th April 1791, he lamented in these words, "It is clear that we are perishing royalty, authority, and the whole nation. The Assembly is killing itself and us with it. I carry in my heart the dirge of the monarchy, and the dead remains of it will now be the spoil of the faction." Lord Acton has also remarked about Mirabeau in these words, "Odious as he was and foredoomed to fail, he was yet the supreme figure of his time. His ultimate policy was one vast intrigue, and he vowed to survive to do evil that good might come. He deserves the great place he holds in the memory of the countrymen." The greatest weakness of Mirabeau was that he had no party of his supporters. Now Lafayette, 1757 to 1834. Lafayette was born in 1757 AD. In an aristocratic family of France. His father breathed his last when he was only of 2 years. He had a very fine appearance. He was very brave and courageous, but he lacked the qualities of a successful diplomat. He went to take part in the American War of Independence in 1776, where he fought very bravely and impressed the Americans to a great extent. It is said that Lafayette was not honored by the French so much as he was honored by the Americans. He twice traveled to America, even after the end of the American War of Independence. General Washington was greatly influenced by his ability and capability. After returning from having taken part in the American War of Independence, he worked for the solution of the problems of his country. He laid stress on reforms in the penal code of France. He started a movement for the free trade because he did not relish the protection policy. Now his political career. He started his political career as a representative of the nobles and demanded the removal of armies along with Mirabeau. He prepared the draft for the Declaration of Human Rights, and it was passed by his inspiration. This declaration was like a Bible for the posterity. Hence it proved to be the most significant deed of Lafayette. After the fall of the fortress of Bastille, there prevailed great chaos and confusion in France. The life and property of men were in danger. Hence, the National Guards were organized for the safety of public and property, and Lafayette was appointed the in charge of National Guards because he had already gained experience of such battalion in America. During his leadership of the National Guards, he established his sway over the Paris Commune and helped a lot to check the lawlessness and disorder prevalent in the French society. Many persons belonging to higher families joined the National Guards because of his inspiration and courage. For some time, it became a fashion to wear the dress of the National Guards in France. When the king and his family was arrested in Paris after 6th October 1789, the responsibility of their safety was given to Lafayette. Some people doubt that Lafayette was one of the party in the unsuccessful flight of the king. It affected his prestige. He was defeated in the battle against Belgium in 1792 and was imprisoned by the king of Austria and Prussia for 5 years. But he was released after that period. He played a prominent role in overthrowing Louis XVIII and in placing Louis Philippe on the throne of France. He took very active part in the Revolution of 1830 and breathed his last in 1834. In spite of all his successful career, his political life was a failure. The chief reason of his failure was that he could not understand France as he misunderstood America. He failed to understand the difference between the public of America and the audience of France. He did not endeavor to get the favor of the general masses. He intended to establish a government in France on American style, and used to say, "If the king accepts the constitution, I will defend him. If he refuses it, I will oppose him." Now, causes of the failure of Lafayette. First, Lafayette wanted that the king should hold the leadership of the revolution, but the king was not prepared for it. Second, the flight of the king from Paris did considerable damage to the prestige of Lafayette because people suspected him to be a party to the king's flight. 3. He failed to march in step with advancing and progressing ideas of the society. 4. He did not seek the cooperation of Mirabeau because he wanted to concentrate all the power in himself. 5. His order to open fire on the Paris mob made him unpopular and ultimately led to dissolution of the National Assembly and the National Guards. With the establishment of reign of terror in France, his position became all the more critical. Danton, a prominent leader of reign of terror, hated Lafayette. So he ran away to Austria in order to save his life, but the government of Austria imprisoned him. Napoleon freed him from the imprisonment during the course of his attack upon Austria. Thus we see that Abbes Sieyès, Mirabeau and Lafayette were the prominent figures of the French Revolution. They were the real supporters of the constitutional monarchy and wanted to improve the condition of France, which was chaotic. Owing to this all, the three leaders hold a significant place in the history of revolution. Now, points to remember. Abbé Sieyès. He belonged to a middle-class family. His father was a government servant. He was very intelligent and had an aptitude for politics. He did not like the life of clergymen and hated the church. He was elected as a representative of the third estate. He played a prominent role in the making of the constitution. He held the post of president of the National Assembly. He was a staunch supporter of the constitutional monarchy and did not have faith in the freedom of the press. He retired from politics during the Reign of Terror and worked on various posts before and after the Reign of Terror. He breathed his last in 1836 AD. Now Mirabeau. He was born in a noble family. He was very ugly in appearance, but his intelligence and courage had no match. He was elected member of the States General by the commoners. He did not like terrorism and disorder. It was his bad luck that he did not succeed in pleasing the king and the National Assembly. Neither of the two had faith in Mirabeau. He worked on several important posts and championed the cause of constitutional monarchy. He gave a turning point to the revolution and invoked new life in a time without number. Thus, he was a central figure or the pivot round which the events of the revolution revolved. He breathed his last on 20th April 1791 AD. Now Lafayette. He was born in an aristocratic family. He earned very great fame by taking part in the American War of Independence. He was a representative of the nobles in the third estate, but he did not relish violence. He was appointed in charge of the National Guards. He exercised tremendous influence over the Paris Commune. The king, along with his family, remained in his custody for some time. He was suspected to be party in the flight of the king from Paris, and he also crushed once a movement of commoners for which the people hated him. His defeat against Belgium also brought him bad name. He had to flee from France when he found the uncontrolled Paris mob raiding the palace of the king, but he came back after some time and again took active part in the revolution of 1830 AD and the overthrow of Louis XVIII. He expired in Paris in 1834.